Still lagging. Oh, well.
Well, we don't have the damn thing.
I know.
When we get that thing, it'll be all right. We need to get the fucking
That needs a little cable. Preamble.
We need to get the fucking cable.
We just push the live thing, and then, like, we don't know when it starts, so it's like, sometimes we're just like, well, we need the fucking thing, and the thing
yeah.
about the thing.
Yeah, we just say, yeah, the thing, and that, and her.
Yeah, and there that goes again.
Yeah, gotta turn the volume.
We need the fucking thing.
Turning the fucking thing down on the thing.
Yeah, like I said, because we really, really, I really don't like this lag. It's kind of driving me insane.
We're gonna fix it.
So hopefully, I mean, I got the cable, so we'll see if that fixes it or not.
I don't think it will.
If it doesn't fix it, then I'm gonna have to buy a new laptop. I'm probably gonna buy a new laptop anyway.
Yeah.
Like I said, I hadn't bought one up to now because I was like, well, I'd really like to have another Mac laptop, but I sure as fuck cannot afford a new Mac laptop.
Yeah.
This one that we're streaming on right now is from 2008, you guys.
It's good enough for what you're doing.
It's good enough for what I'm doing, but
just not enough for streaming, I don't think.
I'll just have to get like a dedicated PC one.
We'll go down to Sam's and go get one.
Yeah, they have some nice ones. Yeah. Hey, everybody popping into the chat. How are you guys doing? It's Monday.
Yeah.
Getting some shit done today. Well, I'm getting some shit done. I always get shit done every day.
Yeah. Oracle Mon's on. Alex Souza, Mango Badger's on.
I can't believe you guys have not got bored of us already. And you
Pookie's
just like,
on.
Oh my goodness, here comes Pookie. She's the door squeaking. She's like, what do you do? Pow.
Yeah,
she
throws the door open.
Like it's like walking into a saloon in a Western. Yeah. We should get her a little cowgirl outfit.
Yeah, that's exactly what she needs.
Oh my gosh, that would be really funny.
Yeah, she fucking throws the door open.
She's like, how dare you close the door?
Yeah.
I have boxes in here that I have to sniff.
Yeah. Well, she knows that I just brought in packages to see what came in.
She wants to smell all
the
paper.
It's the same thing every day. She fucking knows. She knows when we wake up. She knows about showering and going into the fucking closet because she wants to play when you come out of the shower and when you get dressed. She knows about when mail shows up. She knows about dinner time. She knows when we eat. She knows when she's supposed to eat, when lights turn on and when they're supposed to turn off, and when the doors are going to get locked. She knows all that shit.
Oh, it's like
she knows the routine.
Oh, yeah. She's very good. And we've got her now because she'll go out and like outside in the evening. She doesn't go out during the day, really. She likes to kind of like sleep most of the day. But when she goes out in the evenings, and she mostly just stays on the back porch or the front porch and just kind of watches everybody go by or chases lizards or whatever. But she knows that like once it's like 10 o'clock at night and she comes in and the outside back porch light goes off and a little collar comes off.
That's a wrap.
Then that's a wrap.
She stops asking to go out.
Because if you leave the light on, she'll like scratch and be like, what the fuck? This isn't fair.
Yeah,
the light's
still open.
On. It's still open.
it's still
But if you turn the outside light off and take her collar off, she's like, okay.
Yeah, you can see her like slump up.
Yeah.
It's all over. It's over.
No more outside today. I have to wait till tomorrow.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And she's
real smart.
And she'll go right to an area where she knows you're going to be. That's the next thing in the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, I saw Beijing do the funniest thing today.
What's that?
I was in the laundry room, like putting a load of laundry in, and that's where the litter box, that's where Beijing's litter box is. So Beijing comes in and uses the litter box, and then she like jumped right out of it and ran out of the laundry room.
Yeah.
But then like 5 seconds later, she came back in and then she reached her arm in and like scooped over and then scooped some underneath the fucking...
She buried it.
Yeah, but it's like it was funny because she didn't do that. Yeah, it's like she took off and she's like, "Oh shit, I forgot to like bury my pee." And so she came back in and she didn't climb back in. She just stuck her arm in the side and was like, and then she had spilled some out of the side and then she stuck that like underneath because the
she tried to hide that.
She tried to hide it. She like pushed it under, and I was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, I got to go in there with a broom and a fucking dustpan and fucking sweep up
around
that litter box.
Well, she has like a lot of fur.
She tracks that shit. She tracks fucking kitty litter everywhere.
So, yeah, she's like has really long hair. So I feel like, you know, she does not real. But she at least knows that it's not supposed to be outside of the thing because she like, she tried to sweep it underneath the. Yeah.
We're talking about the cats in the middle of the damn fucking TV.
Well, that's okay. This is what always happens. That's true. We were just, you know, well, we got on the cat because Pookie just walked in.
We got regulars listening to us
now. That's what I mean.
Before all we know, we got some random motherfucker 6 months from now going through YouTube trying to find a damn review of this movie. And they got to hear us talk about fucking cats in the cat box.
Come on, everybody loves cats. Yeah. The
name of this movie was called Host.
Yeah. Now, this is very confusing because this is not the Korean monster movie called The Host, which came out, I don't even remember when that came out, like to mid to late 2000s. I don't know, which was also excellent. Also, there is another movie that came out this year that might be on Netflix that's also called The Host, and it's like a thriller. This is not that one. This is a horror movie. This is a Shudder original. Now, this is a movie. Okay, so this, you guys, creative people, it just goes to show you that, like, when life gives you COVID, you make COVID-aid, lemonade, whatever. It makes you do something. Yeah. You take, like, some shitty situation, and you do something with that. This is a movie, speaking of COVID.
Man, I fucking swallowed wrong.
He's got the corona.
No, I swallowed that damn stuff. This movie was made during the pandemic. They refer.
Yeah. And it was made entirely over Zoom.
Yeah.
And it you know what I mean? So like the movie, it's not made to look like it was made over Zoom. It actually was made over Zoom.
Yeah. It looks like you're just looking at watching it on your laptop.
Yeah.
You're watching a YouTube stream. It's exactly what it looks
and like I said, this is not the first time that they've done something like this.
It was a good idea.
You know, they've done like Unfriended. They did, there was one with Elijah Wood called Open Windows, which I think was pretty much all took place like on various computers and cameras and stuff. So it's kind of like a found footage type of thing, but I don't know. As far as I know, this might be the only one that was actually made over Zoom, like the whole thing.
Yeah. It actually had good acting.
The acting was very good. They really sold it.
They had a couple of little spots of fucking special effects. And, you know, like fucking, I guess you could say it's kind of like fucking ghost grabbing people by the throat and pick them up, that kind of stuff.
Kind of paranormal activity type stuff.
Activity.
Yeah.
Story was pretty good. It was a very modern story. It's just like you're watching a live stream with a bunch of fucking people on it trying to do a seance, basically.
Yeah. I mean, that's essentially like the two word pitch for this is. Yeah. Zoom seance is basically what this is. So you have like a group of six friends. Almost all of them are girls. One of them's a guy, but he's like kind of taps out early, but then he comes back later. And they decide while they're all in quarantine, and I guess some of them are in other countries because it sounds like a couple of them are American. The woman that's running the seance, like the medium woman, she sounds Irish. And then like a couple of the other ones are Brits or Australians. Like I couldn't quite tell like a couple of them. It's an international cast. And I didn't know this until I like looked up another review of it, but all of the characters in there, that was their real names. Like they were playing themselves essentially. And I don't know if those were their real houses. I'm assuming they were because everybody was in lockdown. So they said, hey, you know, we'll just
make a movie
and we'll just film. Now it's not like, this was written and directed by Rob Savage. Now, he's a cinematographer. I had heard his name before. I think he's only made like short films up to this point. But so I guess this is his first. It's not quite feature length because it's only about an hour long. But I don't think it really needed to be any longer.
Like I said before, them trying to force an hour and a half worth of entertainment inside of a small fucking low budget story. It's not worth the risk.
It's better, really not.
It's better just to make it as long as you can make it with the story that you have, because it's better to have an interesting 1 hour than a fucking boring hour and a half.
Yeah. And so I think that was a really good choice. And we've said this a few times before where it's like, if you don't have enough story, just make the movie as long as it needs to be, you know, don't add like a half hour of bullshit in there that nobody cares about.
Now, let me ask you this. Is this cinema? Is this a movie? Does it feel like a movie? No, it doesn't really. It doesn't really feel like a movie to me. Is it good though? Yeah, it's all right. It's pretty good.
I actually quite enjoyed it. Like I said, it's not super original. They've done like other, like I said, like Unfriended or Friend Request. They've done like other movies like this. And there was another one that I think I watched it on, I think Netflix, that's called Open Windows. Mm-hmm. Elijah Wood was in it. It was more of a thriller than horror, but it's, I believe it was done entirely through you know, the computer, just other, like, you know, windows and like, you know, security cameras and things. So it's like that. It's not like completely original. And the premise of it isn't completely, it's very simple. Basically just these six friends, they're bored. They decide they're going to get together the one of them, Haley, I guess she's talked to this medium before named Salen, and she wants, and she's done like seances before with this woman. And so they decide they're going to do one. And it goes pretty much as you would expect if you decided to do like an online social distanced seance with your friends. Like the friends are kind of like thinking it's all bullshit or it's just like a lark or whatever. They're doing like a couple of them are coming up with like drinking games. Like, hey, every time the medium says astral plane, like take a drink, but have to like pretend that they're not because they don't, you know, they don't want to like be disrespectful and stuff. So it's like really funny. And they're pretty quick in the way that they kind of get all these friendships established. I don't know if all the people that were in this movie like knew each other prior to this, because they really do. It really does come across like just a bunch of friends who decided
to live stream a seance.
It doesn't seem like actors. It doesn't seem like, I mean, I'm sure it is, but it doesn't seem like that.
Mango Badger's bringing up some good stuff. I was going to say that, well, he's saying the same thing I'm saying. You're probably going to see more of these.
Yeah.
Because they're easy to do and they're cheap. If you don't have any money, you can make a movie like this. It's kind of like Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
It's like that. Now, you probably won't be able to get away with it for very long because there'll be eventually be too many of them.
Yeah.
But for the time being, you can make a movie like this and get away with it.
Yeah, and I'm sure this was like totally not all that expensive to make. No. I mean, although I will say that the special effects that they have in there, because, you know, everyone's just farting around, not taking it super seriously at first. But then over the course of the hour, like shit starts ramping up to a point where people are seeing things, hearing things in the background, like not really knowing what's going on. And I think they did a really good job like pacing it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where it's just like building up and there's like some scenes in this that are like really, really creepy where like some of the people are like, you know, going around their apartment, they hear something in the background. Everybody's like, go see what that is. You know what I mean?
It's a logical this is the logical conclusion to the technological situation right now.
Yeah. I
mean, Blair Witch Project came out, fucking made the found footage fucking genre. Well, this is the live stream genre.
Yeah.
You're not watching a movie. You're not finding footage. You're at home watching some people live stream some shit. And the paranormal stuff happens. And there's a story. It's an hour worth of entertainment. Like you witnessed some paranormal shit over the live stream, over a live stream.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is like.
And that's a good idea.
It is.
Yeah, they won't be able to get away with that for a long time.
No.
But this one was the first one I've seen that come up with that.
Yeah.
Now, there have been ghost stories and paranormal fucking movies that have happened during supposed YouTube channel filming.
Yeah.
That's not the same as watching it happen over YouTube.
Yeah.
And that's what this one. This one is like you're watching it happen over a streaming service.
It's almost kind of like, I was going to say, it's almost kind of like some of those like weird, like ARG, like YouTube channels, like the alternate reality games where people supposedly are putting paranormal videos up like this shit happened to them, but it's really like a fictional story, but it's supposed to be real. So it's kind of like that. And in fact, I don't know, like you said, it's not technically found footage because no one found any footage.
No,
this is almost, it's almost more toward a mockumentary type of thing than found footage.
Right.
I think found footage gets too judiciously or too like widely applied. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people just say that's found footage, but it's not.
But sometimes it's not. I mean, Blair Witch Project is obviously a found footage movie.
The way this movie seemed to me, and maybe I wasn't keeping track of the point of view all the time, but it seemed to me it was a first-person movie like you're watching it happen on your own laptop.
Yeah, screen. Like you were like in the meeting.
Like you're in the stream.
Right.
Like you've logged in like you're watching a damn YouTube live stream.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of people. What do you call it when there's a whole bunch of them in the live stream? I forgot what that function.
Well, it was not. Well, it was basically.
It's not one person live streaming. Yeah. It's a bunch of people live streaming. And you can see them all, like when you have guests.
Yeah. Well, this one, they didn't do this on YouTube. They did it on Zoom.
They did like, it on Zoom.
It's a Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
Which essentially is the same thing. You're live streaming, but they use it. Companies use it like for, you know, for large
amounts
of people.
You can do it on YouTube too.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, you could.
Where you have little screens everywhere.
Yeah.
And you see people talking to each other across the internet. And that's that.
Yeah.
And then paranormal shit is happening to some of them.
And I really like the way they did the paranormal stuff in this. It is very much like you know, the Paranormal Activity movies.
I don't, well, hold on one second. I don't ever remember it going third person. It never went to any of those locations like you were there, did it? It was just like you were watching it on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never go to one of the, any of those
locations. Well, yeah, because they didn't shoot it. They shot it exactly the way you see it.
Right, yeah.
They had each actor, hey, let's do a Zoom meeting, and then they edited together the
footage. Point of view, the camera never changes. It's just like you're watching it happen on your screen. Like you're in it. That's the way I remembered it.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it was.
It never changed any point of view.
No.
Yeah, okay.
And honestly, there was a point, I think there was a point where one of the characters... because I'm not sure like how far apart some of the characters were, because like I said, some of them had different accents, so I assumed they were like in different countries or whatever. But one of the characters was worried about one of the other characters and apparently lived close enough that she could run outside and like go to the other person's house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But everybody was filming stuff. Now, like I said, if you're going to be a stickler about, you know, why would anyone film that? Why would you go back in your... you know, why would you go up in your attic if you heard a noise out there? Why would you take your phone with you? Why would you do this, that, and the other? Yeah. If you're going to be like,
then you know, you don't need to be
a butthole about that. Then, then why are you even watching horror movies? Period. Yeah, because no horror movie ever would have happened if somebody didn't go investigate like, some scary shit.
Yeah, like, they're behind you. No, don't do it. No.
It didn't bother me in this though, because I feel like, well, in a couple of the people that were, I think at least one of the women that was in the live stream, her boyfriend was supposed to be there. So she had heard a noise and she was like wondering where he was at. You know what I mean? So she would go thinking someone else was in her house. And I think one of the other people, like their dad was in the house or something.
Yeah.
So it's not like totally crazy to think if they heard a noise, they wouldn't go, hey, because they thought that it was like a live person. But you know what I mean?
I think all the fucking crazy, stupid shit horror movies tropes used where they were all through the 80s and fucking how you knew what was going to happen, you know, just because you knew the fucking genre.
Well, that's the thing. And you like know, I said, like, particularly slasher
movies.
You
couldn't nitpick them, you know, like
you can't.
Cause you go like, well, you know, that guy's black. He's going to die. And that was, remember that was for a long time.
He was always the first, he the was black guy the first was always one. First he, to die. Well, they even like lampshaded that. They like made a joke out of that, like in later, like more meta horror movies, because it was true. It happened all the time.
The black guy was like one of the first ones to die.
The first one to get killed.
That's why when I saw the, that's why when I fucking saw The Thing, man, I was a fuck. I thought The Thing was awesome because the black dude made it to the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Night of the Living Dead. That was probably the first one.
No, he died.
Well, yeah, but he didn't die
first. He made it to the end and died.
Spoiler alert for a movie from 1968.
But it was just Kurt Russell and Keith David, and they never really showed who was going to die next.
Yeah.
You know, they he
made it all the way to the end.
Yeah, was go to sleep.
I mean, I assume they both died, but, you know.
I assumed that Kurt Russell flamed him.
I kind of feel like probably
because remember here he passed him the fucking bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
And that was like in the beginning, he pours whiskey into the fucking computer that he's playing chess against.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you, bitch. So he cheated by destroying the computer.
Yeah.
And the next time you see him with whiskey, he's giving whiskey to the very last guy. So I was thinking that he was going to.
That 5 minutes after the credits rolled, he just went.
Right. Because, you know.
Fuck you, bro. You're the thing.
Yeah. He goes, you know, I'm Kurt Russell and I fucking cheat. You know,
I fucking cheat.
Yeah. Well, that was.
Well, he's like, well, yeah. He's like, I know I'm not the thing and I don't know about you. So I'm just going to toast your ass.
Well, Kurt Russell was fucking. That was the thing about Kurt Russell. It's kind of funny because, what was that character's name? It wasn't
MacReady.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking. I'm talking about the Keith Davis's fucking character. I forgot. Was it Childs? No.
Yeah, I thought that was the same.
Childs.
Right?
I think it was. Childs tried to take over, and fucking Kurt Russell goes, nah, 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 nah. I think we need somebody who's a little more even tempered. And fucking Childs like, yeah, okay, I see how the white boy wants to play this. And then Kurt Russell was fucking even tempered. No, he wasn't even tempered. He was like, I know I'm not the thing. Fuck all y'all. I'm gonna find out which one of you guys are.
Yeah, he was one of the least even tempered people.
Yeah, he wasn't even tempered.
Although
either.
they were all pretty erratic. Also, yeah. But the thing about it is that the situation.
Yeah, it was a desperate situation.
Anybody would.
Yeah, that's fucking funny. That's cool though.
Right.
But that movie for me as a kid watching that in the theater, that totally changed the game that the fucking that the black guy made it to the very end, that he was, you know what I mean?
Because normally they died. You really didn't see that.
Nope.
It was
good writing. And it's, Carpenter did some cool shit with that.
Yeah. It's just funny that, you know, and I can't think of anything like offhand, because I'm sure there have been horror movies that, you know, ones where people end up in a situation that they can't get out of and they didn't do anything stupid or they didn't do anything to deserve it. Because I mean, slasher movies, you constantly had teenagers being like, hey, let's go to this creepy abandoned place and then we'll hear something outside and we'll go out by ourselves in our underwear to see what the fucking noise was, which no one in real life would ever do. Why would anyone do that? Yeah. Nobody would. So it's like, but you just have to like give it the thing. And this one really didn't strike me as too egregious in that regard, because I mean, they were, you know, the characters at first, they were kind of like fucking around and like they didn't really think anything was going to happen. But then like it ramped up so slowly that I could see if you were into doing the seance and if you kind of wanted like paranormal shit to happen, that you would do some of the shit that they did.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing about it too, is that if you're home by yourself and you're talking to other people on Zoom or whatever, and you hear something in the back, I mean, probably you should go check that out, because it might be a murderer. So you probably need to know that so you can like call the cops or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just saying. So it didn't strike me as like, I didn't think anybody did anything intensely stupid in the movie, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, it's a movie.
Yeah.
I don't fucking look at it that way. I just feel, because a lot of stupid shit happens in fucking movies. You know what I mean?
Well, they're just trying to tell, like I said, a lot of horror
they're
movies
trying to show you something.
Wouldn't even happen unless people made really stupid decisions.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore, because I think you can't really get away with it to that much of an extent, because everybody knows like all
the
old... Well,
you can get away with it, but you have to kind of lampoon it.
Yeah, that's the only way you can, is you have to be like self-aware about the shit.
Right. Look, man, fucking cinema is a fucking an art form that's been around for a long time. It's now kind of like the epic poetry or poetry reading of the fucking 20th and the 21st century. Everything's been done.
It's true.
And
it's true.
It's very hard to innovate and come up with something good nowadays. You kind of have to stick with shit that worked. And a lot of these directors and a lot of these fucking studios don't really necessarily want to stick with what works. And so it ends up not really entertaining the crowd all the time. You have to be able to entertain the crowd and get people fucking to watch. But it's real hard to compete against video games, you know? And it's real hard to compete against classic fucking movies that were made a long time ago, like The Thing and Predator 1 and Terminator, you know? And not only did they come out at the right time, they're just good stories. They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
And if you redo them and change some shit around to make them new, it's going to piss off the fucking fans. You know, like you don't remake. There's certain things you don't remake.
And the thing is, there's so many other stories you could tell, like original stories.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's even a lot of fucking books you could adapt if you don't want to come up with your own story. Or you could just do a variation on that, but do your own shit with it. Because like you said, everything's been done.
Right.
But and that doesn't mean that you have to come up with something like completely different. You could have something like...
Yeah, and they got to be careful of not to stay away from certain tropes because they think that they're lame. Like the Chosen One trope. They hate that. You don't see that anymore. Okay. But that makes a good karate movie. That makes a... You know, like... And fucking... That's also in Star Wars when you think about it. But evidently, a lot of writers and a lot of directors hate that because they think that's so played out.
Well, because I mean, look at like Harry Potter and look at like, oh, you know, like it's been done so much.
Just because the writers don't like it doesn't mean the audiences don't like it. Audiences respond to it, especially young ones, because they kind of are able to put themselves into that.
Yeah, because
they feel special.
Yeah, like young kids want to feel special.
So they identify with characters that feel special. Oh, they're talking about me. You know, like
a lot of YA still has that.
That's the name of the game.
My connection is unstable.
So now it is unstable.
That's
what it says. Oh,
it
shit.
It said it up there and said my connection. I never had that happen. We have an unstable connection. Oh no. I just myself that we should start like flapping around like that, like they do on Star Trek, you know?
Yeah.
Like we start Mago moving around that, like we got an earthquake.
Mago said that other than a psychic, he hated every character. But he did enjoy seeing.
I liked all the characters. I don't, you know, they were inoffensive.
I was indifferent. I was,
you know,
I was
into they it. Seem they, you know, they didn't do a lot of like character building or back or anything, yeah. but that's okay. I mean, they were perfectly fine characters.
I'm 51 years old. I was not the target market or the target audience for this fucking movie. You know, it's just, I think that, you know, this would have been, if I was 20, I'd have liked this movie, I think.
Yeah. And I thought it was, you know, like I said, it was not super original, but the acting was really good. Like I said, I bought into it that these were all like real people, that they were all like friends with each other that were just doing this, just fucking around. And, you know, they did a good job of like building up, like slowly building up the creepy shit. And some of the imagery in it was like really creepy, I thought. Like, especially, I think the best thing in it was that one woman that got like pulled up and in the air and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool. And apparently like a lot of the stunt work was like real stunt work. It wasn't like, so, you know, they had a lot of practical effects, which I thought was cool. There was like some CGI in there too, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, apparently a lot of it was practical. So that's always good to see. But yeah, this is, I mean, if you have an hour to kill and you just want to see something creepy, that's kind of like Paranormal Activity, but you know, set now, like set during the quarantine, and
yeah,
you know, that just like is a whole like thing that happened over Zoom, then yeah. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a good time.
Mango's Badger saying he still wonders at the end of the thing if fucking Keith David was a thing. I think he was. I think Keith David,
I think, like, so too, but I like that they left it ambiguous.
I'd have to go back and look, because I think Keith David, and I think that character's name was Childs. I think he had an earring. You might be able to check and see was in.
Yeah, did he have an earring or like fillings or anything?
Yeah, because looking back on the shot, I remember Keith David turning his head to the left when before he was offered the drink. It could have been, looking back on it, that maybe his earring wasn't there, which is why
I can't remember. But I that's the thing, because when they did the prequel, thank you, Mango.
Thank you very much.
When they did the prequel, there was a scene like that where she was in the snow cat or whatever, yeah, like with the guy,
and she saw the earring.
And she saw that he didn't have an earring anymore. Yeah.
So you might want to go back and check real quick.
I don't know if you were thinking of that, maybe.
Maybe I'm thinking of that, but you might want to double check and see if he had his earring in, because they might have been hinting to that. I remember noticing that certain people had changed their clothing before they fucking changed into the thing. Fucking, you know, Crustle says, you know,
yeah,
it tears through your clothes when it takes you over.
Well, yeah, because it's like...
And if you watch, some of them are wearing different clothing, and then they ended up being the thing. You'd have to go through it backwards, I guess, and keep fucking...
Seeing
who is the thing.
Who's got earrings, who's got different clothes on.
Guarantee you, that was Carpenter's best movie. He did know who the thing was at any time in that movie. It wasn't random.
Well, you would have to.
He knew who the thing was.
I mean, that would be something that, because if you just like were just like, fuck it, whatever, and didn't think about it, then it would just, especially nowadays, everybody would pick holes all the way through it.
Yeah. But after that, man, I became like after seeing that movie, I became a big fucking Crustle fan, and fucking Keith David too, man. You know what? He showed up in a lot of good shit.
He was in a lot of good shit.
He was in a lot of good shit. His voice, you know, the way he projected himself. You know, remember him in They Live?
Yeah.
That was fucking really good, where he was fighting Roddy Piper. It was a good character in that.
He was, they interviewed him in Search of Darkness too, the one that documentary we talked about yesterday. He is also delightful. He seems
he's an awesome human dude. Yeah, he's an awesome dude.
Rick Shaw says, not going to lie, Paranormal Activity made me poop a little.
Damn.
It did have like little scary bits. This reminded me a little bit of that. Like a couple of the scenes in it were Paranormal Activity-esque. Mm. But there's nothing wrong with that, because the first Paranormal Activity was really good. Yeah. I didn't see any of the sequels, although I think all of the sequels are on Tubi. Like, I don't even remember how many sequels there were, maybe five or six of them. And I've heard they were trash, but I don't know. Maybe they're okay.
It's making me want to go back and see the thing.
Well, right now. Well, we have it.
I got it. You can watch it.
There's
three of them on my mind. There's three of them fucking with me right now.
It's fucking.
They're fucking with me. The Thing has been fucking with me. Demolition Man's been fucking with me. I want to see that one again. And I want to see a fucking Escape from New York again. I got to get back on that one. I've seen that one probably fucking 15 times, 20 times.
Yeah, we've seen that movie lots.
And Escape from LA kind of growing on me.
I don't know if I don't know if it'll ever grow on me.
It's kind of grown on me. It's just, I just look at it a little
it
bit.
It just
like
kind of makes
you
go.
It's like a parody, you know?
It is. Yeah.
It's like a parody of it. I think there's another one. I think it's called Lockdown. Isn't it the one with what's his name where he goes to fucking Mars? That's like Escape from Earth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what was that guy's name? He's the guy that did The Machinist, right?
Yeah.
What's that guy's name?
God damn, that makes me want to watch The Machinist. That's on Tubi, actually.
Yeah.
That was a fucked up
guy's
movie.
Name again?
I can't remember. Why you? I don't know.
I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
Rickshaw also said Christine is underrated. I agree.
Yeah, good movie.
And
good.
It's like nobody ever. And that was another good thing that we forgot to mention about In Search of Darkness. They did actually talk about that movie and how.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten because I saw it so many times when I was growing up. And then like we watched it not too long ago when we reviewed it. And I was like, God damn, I forgot how good this
was. Yeah, I got to get that one in my Carpenter collection.
I love that movie.
Also,
Keith Gordon was fucking great in that.
Dead Zone. And Firestarter. Got to get those. Those
we did a review of The Dead Zone. We haven't done Firestarter yet, though, I don't think.
That's a good movie.
Did we review Firestarter?
Mm-mm.
I don't think we did. We did The Dead Zone and we did Christine.
Was Firestarter also Carpenter?
No. He was originally supposed
He's
to do it.
Supposed to do it, right.
But then he went off to work on another movie or he got fired from it or I can't remember like what happened. Yeah. He was initially going to do it because of The Dead Zone. Or no, Dead Zone was Cronenberg.
Cronenberg.
But. Yeah, John Carpenter was initially, and John Carpenter did Christine.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to do Firestarter too, but then they ended up, somebody else ended up doing it.
The Brood was fucking with me too. I want to see The Brood again.
Yeah, I love that movie.
That's a weird movie.
Rebecca Dunn says we should do Silver Bullet. I like that movie.
I only vaguely remember that one. That one had fucking
Gary Busey
in it.
Gary Busey.
Before and, he was totally crazy.
He's still pretty crazy in it, but he's not like, you know, homeless bum behind
the... Yeah, sleeping on people's couches and shit.
Right, he wasn't that. Yeah. He was still pretty young, but he was. Yeah. He's like a super fun character. Corey Haim was in it.
Yeah.
That was actually based on Cycle of the Werewolf, which I think that was a graphic novel. I remember checking that out of the library when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it was like a comic book. And I don't think it... I don't know if it was available in any other format. I thought that was the only format I ever saw. For that one, but yeah, I feel like the book was a lot darker than the movie. The movie was almost kind of like funny, but also pretty fun.
Yeah,
and I'm not a huge fan of werewolf movies, but that was like a really good werewolf movie.
Better than Maximum Overdrive, right?
Maximum Overdrive is you've never seen it.
Never seen it. I've just seen clips of it.
And I've never seen it.
I've never fucking seen that.
It's based on a short story called Trucks, which is like a serious story. But Stephen King was filled with all of the cocaine and decided that he was going to make, I don't even know if he intended to make a comedy, but he did.
Yeah.
But it's one of those movies that's like, that's just terrible, but it is wildly entertaining.
It is.
At the same time. Dang. You would probably love it.
Really?
You would probably love it. I mean, dude, you get to see like a little kid get run over by like a fucking, what the hell are those things called? Where they flatten out the
steamroller?
Yeah, steamroller. There you go. Little kid gets run over by a steamroller. Guy gets hit in the fucking nuts with a can like coming out of the fucking vending machine.
I think I remember that. I think I saw
this. It's got the woman that does Bart Simpson's voice and like she has like the most, or Lisa Simpson's voice rather. And she's got like Yeardley Smith, her name is. And she's got like, she's like the world's most annoying character. Fucking Emilio Estevez is in it. AC/DC is like blasting through the whole movie. It's delightful. It's delightful. You would
Better
actually.
Than the Langoliers?
I didn't really like the Langoliers.
I didn't like the Langoliers either. That shit fucking sucked.
No, see, the Langoliers was not, this was nothing like the Langoliers. I mean, because the Langoliers seemed like it was just, I don't know. It was very meh.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
Bad CG.
And it was really just like, meh, I just didn't really like it. But Maximum Overdrive is like, it's like wrestling. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like watching wrestling. Like it's really big and loud and stupid, but it is also super, super fun.
Okay.
So you would probably really, really love it. I kind of feel like you would love it.
In the comment section, they're saying it's fucking a joke.
It is. It's bad. It's a bad, bad movie. Damn. But I always like, I always found it really entertaining, like how bad it is. It's just one of those like so shitty, it's good.
Yep.
You know what I mean? All right. So that'll probably do it for this review. I think tonight I found another like new one that I wanted to watch that sounds super fun. So want to watch that. And I also want to watch the old one that we're going to review so we can record a review for that. But like I said, I'm not going to say what it is unless you're a patron, then you probably already know. But yeah, so we'll see you guys again tomorrow, probably same bat time, same bat channel. So we'll see you then.
Like, share, subscribe.
Yeah, do all that. Bye.